Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Sovereign Child. How a Forgotten Philosophy Can Liberate Kids and Their Parents by Aaron Stupple is a parenting and child development book rooted in the philosophy of taking children seriously. Rather than treating childhood as a period that must be managed through rules, rewards, punishments, and constant adult control, the book argues that children should be approached as real persons with reasons, preferences, and the capacity to learn through experience. Its purpose is both practical and philosophical to challenge default assumptions about authority in the home and to show how a less coercive relationship can change everyday family life. The book is especially interested in issues such as food, sleep, screen time, chores, conflict, and education, using them to argue that autonomy and trust are not forms of neglect, but conditions for genuine development. It is written for readers who want a serious alternative to conventional parenting advice and who are open to reconsidering the moral basis of how adults relate to children. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, children as moral agents rather than objects of management. The central claim of the book is that children should be treated as full people, not as unfinished beings whose preferences can be overridden whenever adults believe it is convenient. This is more than a polite parenting slogan. It changes the moral starting point of family life. If a child is assumed to have reasons, values, and a point of view, then many common practices such as forcing compliance, using punishment to secure obedience, or dismissing objections because of age become harder to justify. Stupple frames this as a philosophical correction to the assumption that adult authority is automatically legitimate. The book does not argue that children and adults are identical in power or experience, but it does insist that differences in age do not erase personhood. That shift matters because it redefines parenting from control toward cooperation. The result is a model in which the parent is less a commander and more a partner in helping the child understand the world and solve problems. Secondly, why imposed rules can damage learning, trust, and self-understanding. A major part of the book is its critique of non-consensual rules. Stupple argues that rules imposed without the child's agreement can do harm in several connected ways, not just create momentary resistance. They can distort the child's relationship with the self by teaching that inner preferences are irrelevant. They can damage the parent-child relationship by making the parent appear as an enforcer rather than a trustworthy ally. They can weaken problem-solving by replacing thought with obedience. And they can distort a child's view of the world by making arbitrary authority seem normal. This argument is developed through the idea that many parental rules are not actually solutions to problems, but substitutes for understanding them. Instead of asking why a difficulty exists, adults often impose a limit that merely suppresses it. The book therefore treats rules as epistemic, as well as moral errors. They do not just constrain behavior, they reduce the opportunities children have to learn how things work. That makes the critique broader than standard anti-authoritarian parenting and closer to a theory of how people learn. Thirdly, everyday autonomy in sleep, food, and screen use. A major part of the book is its critique of non-consensual rules. Stupple argues that rules imposed without the child's agreement can do harm in several connected ways, not just create momentary resistance. They can distort the child's relationship with the self by teaching that inner preferences are irrelevant. They can damage the parent-child relationship by making the parent appear as an enforcer rather than a trustworthy ally. They can weaken problem-solving by replacing thought with obedience. And they can distort a child's view of the world by making arbitrary authority seem normal. This argument is developed through the idea that many parental rules are not actually solutions to problems, but substitutes for understanding them. Instead of asking why a difficulty exists, adults often impose a limit that merely suppresses it. The book, therefore, treats rules as epistemic, as well as moral errors. They do not just constrain behavior, they reduce the opportunities children have to learn how things work. That makes the critique broader than standard anti-authoritarian parenting and closer to a theory of how people learn. Fourthly, non-coercive conflict resolution and the rejection of routine punishment. The book extends its philosophy beyond personal habits into family conflict, especially sibling disputes, etiquette, and discipline. Stupple is skeptical of common responses such as timeouts, punishments, enforced apologies, or adult mediation that settles disputes by fiat. His argument is that these interventions may stop visible conflict, but often do not teach the children how to solve the underlying problem. If the goal is to raise people capable of handling disagreements, then a parent should avoid replacing the children's reasoning with their own authority. This approach does not deny that conflict exists or that parents sometimes need to intervene for safety. Rather, it insists that intervention should aim at understanding and at preserving the child's agency as much as possible. That makes the book different from both strict authoritarianism and permissive neglect. it tries to locate a third path where the parent is responsible without becoming coercive. In practice, this means asking what each child wants, what each child is trying to protect, and how a solution can be found without training everyone to wait for an authority figure to impose peace. Lastly, a rationalist philosophy of parenting shaped by epistemology. What distinguishes the book from most parenting titles is its philosophical foundation. Stoeppel draws on critical rationalism and the broader tradition associated with Karl Popper and David Deutsch, especially the idea that people learn through conjecture, criticism, and revision, rather than obedience. This gives the book a different structure from advice books that merely list better techniques. Its argument is that parenting should be governed by an epistemology, a theory of how knowledge and understanding actually grow. Children do not become wise by being controlled into compliance. They become capable by being allowed to engage with reality, make mistakes, reflect, and improve. The book, therefore, treats family life as a domain where moral and intellectual questions intersect. If adults want children to become creative, independent adults, they should not run the home as a compliance system. They should create conditions in which understanding can emerge. This philosophical angle also helps explain why the book is so polarizing. It is not simply recommending a looser style of parenting. It is questioning the assumptions behind centuries of child-rearing norms that makes it intellectually ambitious and harder to dismiss than a typical contrarian parenting guide. In conclusion, this book is best suited for parents, educators, and readers interested in child development, moral philosophy, and unconventional approaches to family life. It will be especially useful for people who already feel uneasy about power struggles, punishment, or the habit of treating children as problems to be managed. The main benefit is not a checklist of tactics, but a deeper reframing of what parenting is for. Instead of asking how adults can gain more compliance, the book asks how children can become capable, self-directed, and trustworthy through being treated as persons from the start. That makes it intellectually useful even for readers who do not agree with every practical implication. Compared with other parenting books, it stands out for its philosophical seriousness and its refusal to separate daily routines from questions of autonomy, knowledge, and personhood. It is less about optimizing behavior than about rethinking the moral structure of the parent-child relationship. For readers open to a radical challenge to conventional norms, it offers a distinctive and unusually coherent alternative. If you would like to support Aaron Stoeppel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.